Welcome back to the Crypto Daily, listeners. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting Ethan Altcoin Voyager, a seasoned crypto analyst, to unpack the latest happenings in the cryptosphere. Ethan, always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me, Sophia. It's great to be back.
Ethan, let's dive right in. We're seeing a flurry of partnerships and product launches, particularly around Bitcoin liquidity solutions. Crypto.com's collaboration with 21.co for their 21BTC product is a prime example. What's your take on this trend?
It's definitely indicative of a maturing market, Sophia. As more institutional players enter the crypto space, the demand for robust and reliable liquidity becomes paramount. Crypto.com's deep liquidity pools make them a natural choice for 21.co. This partnership also highlights the growing importance of wrapped Bitcoin products like 21BTC, especially for investors in regions where direct crypto investments might face regulatory hurdles.
Speaking of regulations, Bahrain is steadily emerging as a crypto hub. The National Bank of Bahrain just launched its first Bitcoin investment fund. This, coupled with Crypto.com securing a license there, points towards a deliberate push for crypto adoption in the region. Do you think Bahrain can become a significant player in the global crypto landscape?
Bahrain's proactive and balanced approach to crypto regulation is definitely noteworthy. They're not shying away from fostering innovation, yet they're also establishing guardrails to protect investors. The National Bank of Bahrain's Bitcoin Fund is a strong signal to institutional investors, and Crypto.com's presence further adds to their credibility. However, they face stiff competition from other established and emerging hubs. The UAE, with its recent regulatory strides, and Cointelegraph setting up shop in Dubai, is a force to be reckoned with.
Interesting point about Cointelegraph's move to Dubai. It seems like the Middle East is becoming a focal point for crypto media and events as well. This could further amplify the region's presence on the global stage.
Absolutely. Media plays a crucial role in shaping perceptions and driving adoption. Cointelegraph's decision to establish a Middle East headquarters in the DMCC Crypto Center speaks volumes about the region's potential. We can expect to see more industry events and conferences gravitating towards the Middle East, further solidifying its position as a global crypto hub.
It seems like everyone's looking for the next big crypto play, especially with the anticipation of a bull run. Some are turning to meme coins, while others are seeking out promising altcoins. Ethan, what's your take on this trend, and are there any particular projects that have caught your eye?
You're absolutely right, Sophia. The crypto space is buzzing with anticipation, and both meme coins and altcoins are attracting significant attention. Meme coins, often fueled by social media hype, can generate incredible short-term gains, but also carry significant risk. On the other hand, altcoins with strong fundamentals and real-world utility are piquing the interest of investors looking for long-term growth.
The articles we have today highlight this dichotomy quite well. We see meme coins like Pepe Unchained gaining traction with their Layer 2 solution for meme coins, while projects like Crypto All-Stars aim to provide utility to meme coin holders through staking.
Exactly. It's fascinating to see how projects are trying to bridge the gap between the meme coin frenzy and real-world utility. Pepe Unchained's attempt to address network congestion and transaction fees commonly associated with meme coins is an intriguing development. Similarly, Crypto All-Stars' multi-chain staking platform could provide meme coin investors with a way to earn passive income, adding a layer of practicality to their holdings.
It's not just about meme coins, though. We also see discussions about established altcoins like XRP and Shiba Inu, with predictions about their future performance. What are your thoughts on their potential, especially in light of the emergence of newer projects?
XRP's price prediction is quite interesting, especially considering its legal battles. While breaking past 60 cents seems achievable, hitting $1 might be a long shot in the near future. Shiba Inu, on the other hand, is banking on its Shibarium updates and ecosystem expansion to drive growth. However, the emergence of projects like Rexus Finance, with its focus on real-world asset tokenization, and RCO Finance's AI-powered robo-advisor, presents a compelling case for investors seeking potentially higher returns.
Rexus Finance has certainly been making headlines with its ambitious goals. tokenizing real-world assets like real estate and commodities could unlock tremendous liquidity and open up new avenues for investors.
Absolutely. Rex's Finance is tapping into a trillion-dollar market, and their innovative approach has the potential to disrupt traditional investment models. The fact that crypto whales are reportedly accumulating RXS tokens speaks volumes about their confidence in the project's long-term prospects.
It's a dynamic landscape with both meme coins and altcoins vying for attention. Investors need to carefully assess the risks and rewards associated with each project before making any decisions. Speaking of whale activity, or the lack thereof, a Ton-based wallet drainer recently announced its shutdown, citing a lack of whales in the Ton community. Instead, they're directing their users to target Bitcoin. What are your thoughts on this, Ethan?
It's fascinating, Sophia. This shutdown highlights a couple of things. First, it underscores the importance of community size and wealth concentration in the crypto space, especially for malicious actors. Second, it shows that even Bitcoin, with its large market cap, isn't immune to these threats. While Ton might not have enough whales to make it worthwhile for these drainers, it's a reminder that security should be a top priority for any project, regardless of size.
Absolutely. And this incident with the Ton drainer using fake USDT transactions to trick users is a classic example of social engineering. It preys on people's desire for quick gains and highlights the need for constant vigilance and education in the crypto space.
You're spot on, Sophia. Education is paramount. Newcomers especially need to be aware of these tactics and learn to verify information before interacting with any smart contract or clicking on suspicious links. The Ton ecosystem, while promising, is still relatively new, making it potentially more vulnerable to these types of scams.
Well, Ethan, shifting gears to a less than savory topic, the WazirX hack from July is back in the headlines. Government agencies in India are turning up the heat on the exchange following that massive $235 million loss. What's your take on this development?
It's a significant development, Sophia. The involvement of agencies like the FIU, IB, and CERDIN signifies that the Indian government is taking this breach very seriously. It appears they're looking into every aspect, from the technical details of the hack itself to the flow of funds and potential security lapses on WazirX's part.
It's interesting, though, that this is happening months after the actual hack. Do you think this delayed response from authorities is indicative of the challenges in regulating the crypto space, especially in a country like India, where the regulatory landscape is still evolving?
Absolutely. This case highlights the complexities of attributing responsibility and jurisdiction in cross-border, decentralized systems. The fact that hackers are already moving stolen assets through mixers like Tornado Cash further complicates matters. It's a jurisdictional nightmare, frankly, and it underscores the need for international cooperation and standardized regulations for crypto exchanges.
And what about WazirX's response? They've claimed to be cooperating with authorities, but there are reports of them deleting a video promising users 100% profits. How do you see their handling of this situation?
Not a good look, Sophia. That kind of move, if true, erodes trust and raises red flags. Transparency is crucial in situations like this, and their actions seem contradictory to that. The fact that they're reportedly seeking a white knight investor while under moratorium adds another layer of complexity. It remains to be seen how this will ultimately play out for WazirX, and more importantly, for their users who lost funds.
Speaking of Ethereum upgrades, there's a fascinating new proposal on the table that has the potential to significantly impact the network's throughput. Ethan, as our resident Ethereum expert, could you break down EIP 7781 for us?
Absolutely, Sophia. EIP 7781, if implemented, would be a game changer for Ethereum's scalability. Essentially, it proposes reducing the block time from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. Now, that might not sound like much, but it translates to a 50% increase in throughput.
A 50% increase? That's huge. What are the key mechanisms behind this proposed boost? And how does it tie into the broader conversation around Layer 2 solutions and data blobs?
It's all interconnected, Sophia. This EIP not only shortens the block time, but also increases the capacity for blobs, which are essentially dedicated data storage spaces for Layer 2 networks. By accommodating more blobs per block, Ethereum can handle a higher volume of Layer 2 transactions, further enhancing scalability.
So, it's like adding more lanes to the highway and having cars drive faster at the same time. But with any significant change, there are bound to be trade-offs. What are some potential downsides or challenges associated with EIP 7781?
You're right, Sophia. One major concern is the increased strain on validators. Shorter block times mean they have less time to process and validate transactions, potentially requiring more powerful hardware and bandwidth. This could disadvantage smaller validators and, in turn, centralize the network, which goes against Ethereum's ethos of decentralization.
That's a valid concern. It seems like a delicate balancing act between boosting performance and maintaining decentralization. What are your thoughts on this trade-off, Ethan, and the potential long-term implications for Ethereum?
It's a critical consideration, Sophia. While the potential for increased throughput is exciting, we need to be mindful of the impact on network health and security. If implemented, EIP 7781 would need to be carefully monitored and adjusted to ensure it doesn't inadvertently compromise Ethereum's core principles.
So, Ethan, EigenLayer is making moves to attract everyday users after its big Eigen token unlock. What's their strategy here?
Well, Sophia, they're taking what they call an inside-out approach. Starting with crypto-native applications like DeFi and gaming, which are already familiar with the decentralized world, the idea is to gain traction within the crypto space before expanding to broader consumer markets.
Makes sense, starting with a familiar audience. But how does EigenLayer plan to entice these consumer apps to join their ecosystem?
That's where EigenDA comes in. It's their own data availability solution and acts as a sort of gateway to the broader EigenLayer AVS ecosystem. As more users adopt EigenDA, they'll be exposed to other services offered within the EigenLayer network, like ARPA for random number generation and eOracle for data oracles.
Interesting strategy, using one service as a springboard for others. But EigenLayer isn't the only player in the data availability space, is it? How does EigenDA stack up against competitors like Celestia and Avail?
That's the billion-dollar question, Sophia. It's a crowded field, and each platform has its strengths and weaknesses. EigenLayer is betting on its integrated approach, where EigenDA is just one piece of a larger ecosystem. This could be a significant advantage, offering a more comprehensive and interconnected suite of services compared to standalone data availability solutions.
So, Ethan, BittenSource Tao token has been absolutely on fire lately. What's driving this incredible rally?
It's been quite the surge, Sophia. A confluence of factors is fueling Tao's price action. First, Grayscale, the crypto asset management giant, recently increased Tao's allocation in its decentralized AI fund significantly. We're talking a jump from 2.6% to almost 30% in a matter of weeks. That's a huge vote of confidence.
That's a massive allocation change. Grayscale's clearly bullish on BittenSource, but it's not just them, right? The entire AI token sector seems to be heating up.
Absolutely. We're seeing impressive gains across the board. Near Protocol, Fetch.ai, The Graph, they're all up significantly in the past month. This suggests a broader market trend of renewed investor confidence in the AI sector.
And what's interesting is that this AI rally coincides with Bitcoin's recovery. It seems investors are feeling more bullish on crypto in general.
Exactly. Remember the market sentiment back in September? Extreme fear gripped investors due to recession worries and weak economic data. But as markets began to recover, so did crypto. And within crypto, AI is emerging as a hot narrative.
It makes sense. The real-world applications of AI, particularly generative AI and large language models, are becoming impossible to ignore. Investors are looking for ways to capitalize on this trend, and these AI tokens offer a compelling opportunity.
And let's not forget the infrastructure play. These AI projects require massive computing power, which puts a spotlight on decentralized GPU networks like BittenSource. As demand for AI processing grows, so too will the demand for these networks, potentially driving up the value of their native tokens.
Speaking of interesting developments, let's talk about Apro Oracle. They just raised $3 million in a seed round, led by some heavy hitters like Polychain Capital and Franklin Templeton. For our listeners who aren't familiar, Apro is building an oracle specifically for the Bitcoin ecosystem.
This is a big deal, Sophia. The Bitcoin ecosystem has been crying out for a dedicated Oracle solution. Sure, we have general-purpose oracles, but they often lack the specialization and security needed for Bitcoin's unique architecture.
And that's where Apro's Oracle 3.0 comes in. They're touting Bitcoin-level security combined with next-gen technology. What exactly does that mean, Ethan?
Essentially, they're leveraging Bitcoin's security model, which relies on proof-of-work and a vast network of miners to ensure the integrity of the data their Oracle provides. This is crucial for DeFi applications built on Bitcoin, where the stakes are incredibly high.
And it seems like they're not wasting any time. According to the press release, they've already expanded to over 15 blockchains and provide price feeds for over 140 assets in just 6 months. That's impressive growth.
It speaks to the pent-up demand for a reliable Bitcoin oracle. DeFi on Bitcoin, or BTCFi, as some call it, has been hampered by this lack of infrastructure. Apro could be the key to unlocking its full potential.
Their focus on Bitcoin L2s, ordinals, and even the Lightning Network is interesting. It shows they're not just focused on the base layer, but also on the emerging layers of the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Exactly. They're positioning themselves as the go-to oracle for all things Bitcoin, and that's a smart move. As the Bitcoin ecosystem continues to evolve and diversify, the demand for specialized Oracle services will only grow.
So, Ethan, shifting gears a bit, there's been quite a buzz around this new listing on XT Exchange. EverValue Coin, or EVA, has caught the attention of many in the crypto space. What are your initial thoughts on this project?
Honestly, Sophia, I think it's an interesting concept. The idea of a Bitcoin-backed asset with a deflationary model is quite compelling, especially for long-term Bitcoin holders.
It's like they're trying to create a hybrid between a stablecoin and a deflationary token, all while leveraging the security and brand recognition of Bitcoin.
Exactly. And the fact that it's backed by WBTC, held in a smart contract, makes it more transparent and potentially more trustworthy than some other wrapped Bitcoin solutions out there.
The token burn mechanism is another intriguing aspect. They're essentially creating scarcity by destroying a portion of the supply over time, which theoretically should drive up the value of the remaining tokens.
Right, and by using a combination of user-initiated burns and a programmed systematic burn, they're aiming to create a more predictable and sustainable deflationary pressure.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the market. The listing on XT Exchange should give them some decent exposure and liquidity, but ultimately, the success of EVA will depend on its adoption and the effectiveness of its deflationary model.
Agreed. The concept has potential, but execution is key. We'll have to keep an eye on how they manage the burn rate, the transparency of their operations, and of course, the overall market sentiment towards Bitcoin-backed assets.
Well, Ethan, it seems like everyone's hopping on the interoperability train these days. We've got another interesting development in that space, with Infinex choosing Wormhole as their primary interoperability solution. What are your thoughts on this partnership?
It's a smart move by Infinex, Sophia. Wormhole has quickly become the industry standard for cross-chain communication, boasting an impressive track record with over 1 billion messages and billions in assets transferred. Their focus on security and their extensive network of supported blockchains make them an ideal partner for a platform like Infinex that aims to simplify the DeFi experience.
Absolutely. And it seems like Infinex is leveraging Wormhole for more than just basic token transfers. They're integrating Wormhole Connect for a smoother user experience and using Wormhole queries to enhance security and asset recovery mechanisms. It sounds like they're really trying to tackle some of the pain points associated with managing assets across multiple chains.
Definitely. The ability to recover assets trapped on non-native chains is a huge value proposition for users, especially as we see more fragmentation in the DeFi ecosystem. Wormhole queries could be a game changer in that regard. It streamlines the recovery process and eliminates the reliance on cumbersome traditional methods.
It'll be interesting to see how this partnership evolves and what other features they'll integrate in the future. It's clear that both Infinex and Wormhole are committed to pushing the boundaries of what's possible in the multi-chain world. This move signifies a broader trend of DeFi platforms prioritizing interoperability and user experience to drive mainstream adoption. It's been a fascinating conversation today, Ethan, with insightful discussions on wrapped Bitcoin, deflationary models, and the future of interoperability in DeFi. Thanks for joining me today, and for our listeners, thanks for tuning in to the Crypto Daily Show. Until next time.